Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. All right, I want to tie a couple of things together that we started with last week. And then I want to answer some of the difficulties that are in this chapter. I'm going to call our Bible study tonight the hard parts of chapter 11, because that's what they are. They're hard parts. I can help you tonight. Let's look at just a couple of key verses here. Verse 3, he says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." All right, now let me just go back and make sure you understand that this hierarchy of which Paul is speaking does not necessarily mean in your home, in your husband-wife relationship, all right? The idea is, generically, God and Jesus, all right? And my hand did not move, okay? Now, when you talk about Jesus and redemption, then my hand moves, okay? Because we saw that he humbled himself and became a servant. So Christ, that's the incarnation, where Christ becomes one of us. So in that, it's God, the angels, man, and Christ. All right, so he becomes one of us. And then the wife, or then the women, and then the children. And that's God's hierarchy. You say, well, is God sexist? No, there's a reason for why God did it like he did it. Things work best when we follow God's law and God's order and God's rule. It always works best. And so when this is not saying at all that a woman is inferior to a man. That is not anywhere at all in the Bible or in God's mind. But what God says is that that Adam was not deceived. Eve was the one that was deceived by the devil, and then she got Adam to do what the devil could not get Adam to do. You with me? She batted her eyes and said, "Oh, come on, honey," and he said, "Okay." All right, so part of her judgment, so to speak, on the woman was she is to be in submission to her husband. And that's just, I mean, I didn't write the rules. I'm just telling you that that's what the verse is saying. So notice this hierarchy. It is vital that you understand this verse. And the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So you've got God, and then and this is of course a reference to the incarnation. So you've got God, the angels, man, Christ, man and Christ, and then woman, and then children. And where you get into trouble, I don't care whether you're a country, whether you're a family, a home, a marriage, it just doesn't make any difference where you see this. If one of these gets out of order, you got a problem. When the inmates are running the asylum, you got a problem, okay? When the kids are running the family, you got a problem. When the wife is running the husband, you got a problem. And when man won't listen to God, you got a problem. Okay? It's just the way it is. All right. Now, verse 4, once that hierarchy was established, verse 4, and here's where it starts getting tricky. He starts talking about praying with your head covered, whether or not it's you ought to do it. Should you have your head covered? And women, should they have their head covered, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so let's look at verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. So there's the hierarchy again. Okay? And in verse 10, this is the one that throws everybody. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely for that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Now notice that. Didn't say sin. It said it's a shame. Okay, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. Watch this now. This is key. For her hair is given her for a covering. So her hair is her covering. All right, so I have had several people through the years, a lot of people through the years, a lot of ladies. Pastor, should I cover my head when I come to church? And Paul here says, your hair is your cover. Now, I'm not going to stand here and argue with anybody about any woman. If she wants to cover her hair, that's her business. You look at verse 16, he said, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So, you know, I'm not going to argue with you about that. And that's what Paul's saying. I'm not going to argue about this stuff. I would argue about the deity of Christ, and I would argue about the virgin birth, and I would argue about the inspiration of Scripture. But I'm not going to argue with you gals about whether or not you ought to have your head covered when you come to church. All right, now if you want to do it, fine. I don't think you have to, because verse 15 says, your hair is your glory. All right, now it's funny, and I pointed this out last week, and I had 25 people come to me and say, I never thought of that. I just never thought of that. But men lose their hair. A lot of men lose their hair. All right? A lot of men, you ought to hear the comments up here. That's why I'm looking that way. A lot of men lose their hair. All right? But the women, most of the time, keep your hair. Why? Because God made you that way. Now, if you're losing your hair, ladies, it's because there's something physically wrong. You need something, all right? And you can go to a doctor and get it, usually, and it'll stop your hair loss, okay? But that's just the way God made us. And why did God make women to have hair and men not? And naturally, I'm talking about. And the answer is verse 15. Your hair is your covering. It is your covering before God. All right, so with that foundation that we got last week and what I just gave you, I want us to take a look at a couple of the difficult, hard parts of this 11th chapter. And I need you to realize that at the beginning, in verse 3, at the beginning of this section, is this a concept of a hierarchy of authority in this world. And God is, of course, at the top. Then the angels are next. We are told in the book of Hebrews that man was created just a little lower than the angels. So it is God, and then the angels, and then man, and then woman, and then the children. Now, naturally, with this hierarchy, God, angels, man, woman, children. Naturally, the devil would want to do all he could to get these two down here up here. Right? I mean, if you were the devil, would you not muddy the water at the source? Come on. And so that's the role of women has become a battleground in our society. And for my entire adult life, there has been a struggle for women's rights. And as it normally happens, the church usually catches whatever disease the world has and then adopts the spirit of that age. And that's exactly what has happened in our world today. You know, the Bible says, Paul said, that the woman is not to usurp authority over a man. You know what that means? That means that Joyce Myers ought not be called pastor. She ought not be pastoring a church. No, that's the men. God calls men to pastor. You say, well, did God not call her? No. He's not going to violate his word. He's not going to violate his word. You say, well, I've gotten some good stuff from her. If you have, it's Bible stuff. Not her stuff. It's Bible stuff that you've gotten. Does that make sense to you? I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody. But the truth's the truth. All right? And if I don't get the truth to you, who's going to do it? Thank you. You're welcome. So this is happening in our world today, folks. You know, churches today use the world's music and the world's mindset and the world's behavior and the world's dress, and there's no such thing as sin. Sin has been dumbed down. There's no such thing as sin anymore in church. There's no right or wrong. Everything's relative. And instead of the church conquering the world has conquered the church. That's what's wrong. Everything's just backwards. Okay? And so what happened in Corinth was the city impacted the church. Instead of the church impacting the city impacted the church. It was influencing the church, and thus there were all these problems. Now, go back to verse 2 for just a second. And remember, Paul says, very kindly, dripping with honey, I mean, just flowers and kisses all over verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, and he's doing all that because he's going to sucker punch them here in just a minute. All right, but he's lifting them up right now. I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. All right, now remember, in the King James Bible, in the Cambridge Bible, where the King James translators put their notes in the center column, they have a little 2 after the word ordinances, and the word is traditions. Traditions, ordinances. Now, Paul founded this church. And Paul says that when he founded the church, he said, I'm thankful now, these several years later, he said, I'm thankful that you have kept the ordinances that I gave you, the traditions that I gave you. I'm thankful that you kept those. I looked up the word in Mr. Noah Webster's dictionary, which he takes his English definitions from the King James Bible. And Mr. Noah said that the word that traditions that is used here is that which is passed along by teaching. That makes sense, doesn't it? That which is passed along by teaching. So to Paul's divinely inspired apostolic teaching, the Corinthian believers held firmly to that. And Paul was thankful. He was thankful. But with some of the more secondary matters, they were not doing very well. And this was one of those areas. Another one of those areas, it was in chapter 5, where they tolerated that boy and his stepmother. Another place where they weren't doing so well was in all these divisions. And that's the purpose for the letter. But now, the basic foundation, they had it. But Paul says, I got some problems with some of the things going on there. Now, in order to fix some of those things that are going on there, you need to realize that there is a hierarchy God has set. God, angels, man, woman, child. Okay? Now, when you all come to church, all right, here's the problem. Somebody had written a letter and they said, Paul, we got these women coming to church and they don't have their heads covered. All right, now, where did that come from? Well, back in the 400 silent years between the Testaments, all right, you know what I'm talking about? From Malachi to Matthew, there was 400 years. And in that 400 years, there was this group that rose up called Pharisees. And not only the Pharisees, but the Sadducees. And then there was, they all were political. They all were trying to out-pious one another and out-spiritual one another. And, they all had their own doctrine and their own way. And they were kind of the ruling body. All right? And they came up with these rules that said, when you go to the temple or in Jerusalem, or when you go before God at an altar, you are to have your head covered. They were the ones that did that, not God. Not God. You say, Pastor, where did they get that? Well, they got that from Moses. When hold your place here and go over to 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians for just a minute, and I'll show you where they come up with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. All right, look at verse 10. He said, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Now keep that verse in mind, and we'll come back to it in just a minute. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And that's referring to when Israel will come to God during the tribulation period. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of our Lord. All right, now go back to verse 13. In verse 13 it says, "And not as Moses, which put the veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished." All right, now what's Paul saying right there? All right, watch. Do you remember when Moses left the children of Israel at the base of Mount Sinai? Remember that? And the Bible says that he went alone, took Joshua halfway up with him, but he walked the rest of the way up Mount Sinai. And he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God. Remember that? And the Bible says that he came back down off the mountain. And when he came back down off the mountain, he had an armload of God's word. Remember that? He had the commandments. And he comes down, sees them naked, dancing, drunk, and worshiping a golden calf. So he takes the stones where God, with his own hand, had written the Ten Commandments, and he threw them at that altar and rebuked the people. Then he had to go back up on the mountain for 40 more days to get the law, because he broke it over here. So he had to go back up again, spent 40 more days with God. So he comes back down the mountain, and when he came back down the mountain, the Bible says, and his face did shine. Remember that? And the people said, Moses, you're going to have to put something over your face. You're going to have to hide that face. We're scared to death. That face is scaring us to death. And they made him put a veil over his face. That covering. That's the key word, covering. And so they did that. Now, it came time when that veil, when that glow was starting to go away. And naturally it would. And it was a picture. Paul said it was a picture that the law was not going to last. There was something better than the law, and that's Jesus. Okay? But Moses kept the veil on his face, even though it was fading. He kept the veil on his face so that the people would listen to him. See? And that's what Paul is saying here in this passage of scripture. And he is trying to get people to realize that Christ is it. Christ is he's what it's all about. And now a lot of this is a cultural thing, as I discussed with you last week. And you remember the women from the temple in Corinth. At that time, when this church was up and going, they were getting saved. Now, they were the ones that shaved their heads. Their heads were shaved. And it identified them. You say, well, wouldn't that be a shame? Wouldn't that be shameful? Not if it identified you as a worldling. All right? Hang on. All right? If you don't have that seatbelt on, you ought to buckle it up right now. I'm about to say something here. Wouldn't it be a shame for a man to have earrings and a ponytail? Wouldn't that be a shame? I would be ashamed. You know, I would not. You say, Pastor, I can't believe you just said it. You would never see me with earrings. I'm a man. I'm not wearing girly earrings. But the world thinks that's cool. Why? Because it shakes a fist in the face of God. That's why. It is like the world saying, huh, you ain't gonna tell me what to do. You know, that's what the devil wants. He wants to mix it up. He wants the girls to look like boys and the boys to look like girls. You know that's what the devil's trying to do. And that's why it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Why? Because the woman's hair is her glory. That's why. All right, now you're all happy, aren't you? But in the ordinance of verse 2, all the Jews covered their heads. And this is why they did it. The Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, during the intertestamental period between Malachi and Matthew, they wrote all these laws, put it in a book called the Talmud. And in that Talmud, they said, if you're going to the temple to worship, you must cover your head. And so they're writing now because many of these are Jews who are saved in this church, even though it is a Greek town. And they're out here passing out tracts or stone rocks. I don't know. I don't know what they were doing, but they were witnessing to people, all right? And these temple prostitutes with their shaved heads, they come walking by and they get saved. And so they said, okay, now I'm saved. What do? Come to church. All right, what time's church? Well, we have Sunday school at 9:45, and then we have church at 10:45. Oh, okay, well, we'll be there. Nobody thought anything at all. And they said, wow, that's great. We had 9 saved today, and 8 of them were prostitutes from the temple. And everybody said, wow, that's awesome. But then Sunday morning came, and here came these bald-headed women to church. And the Jews, who have been steeped in this Pharisaical tradition, they're sitting there going, oh my goodness. And World War III broke out in the church. And that's why they're writing Paul, and they're asking, what's the deal? And Paul says, look, guys, you don't have to cover your head because you are honored of God. You have been created. The man is not of the woman. The woman is of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. You are created in the image and glory of God. You don't have to cover your head. You say, well, what about these women? Well, you don't have to cover yours either, because your hair is your glory. But Paul, these women don't have hair. Well, then let them cover until their hair comes out. That's what he's saying. All right, you get that? That's what he's saying. And you say, well, wow, I'd have never gotten that out of there. Yeah, you would have. If you kept reading it enough, you would have. So keep reading it and you'll see it. All right, so God, listen, folks, the woman was created for the man. Verse 9. Remember, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So he created woman. Now that does not mean that she is intellectually, morally, spiritually, or functionally inferior to man. No, sir. Doesn't mean that at all. She is unique from man. Her role is to come under the leadership and the protection and the care of a godly man. And she is to be a helpmeet, as God said in Genesis 2:20. So here in verse 10, now look at it. Here's a hard part. All right, here's another hard part. So look at it in verse 10. So Paul returns to the application of the principle in verse 10. The married women who came to church wore a covering as a sign of submission to the authority over them. That's why these women were doing this. But now, Paul says in verse 10 something that is, it's difficult. It is difficult. Now, again, the King James translators helped us a little bit, and they have in their center column, look at verse 10, look carefully, they have a 7 at the word power. So if you have a Cambridge Bible and you look at what the King James translator said, all right, let me read it to you in the King James, in the text. It says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And verse 10 says, that is a covering in sign that she is under the power of her husband. You say, what? Well, listen carefully. A man comes to church and he doesn't have to cover his head because he was made in the image of God. A woman, however, was made in the image of man. But verse 15 says, her hair is her covering. So if she has hair, and most women do, if you don't, God understands, because you're supposed to. There's physically a reason you don't. But God understands if you don't. So don't walk out of here and say, you know, well, I know so-and-so and her hair's falling out. Well, God knows that, okay? He knows where every hair of your head falls. He's God. He knows the number of hairs on your head. So if she has hair, and most women do, that hair is her covering. It is not necessary that she cover her head. Her hair is her covering. But don't forget, the question really stemmed from these Gentile, heathen, Greek women, no Jewish background, no Moses background, no Old Testament background. They didn't know anything about veils. They didn't know anything about coverings. They didn't know anything about Moses' face shining. They didn't know about anything. They just knew they walked down the street one day, somebody told them about Jesus, and they believed in Jesus. They didn't have husbands, so they had no man unto whom they could submit to his authority. So Paul said in verse 10, let them cover as a sign of submission to angels. Watch. Woman, man, they don't have a man. There's no man in their lives. These women that got saved in Corinth, these women who got saved in out on the streets, these Gentile women, they don't have a husband. They're prostitutes, but they come to church. So Paul said there's no man in their lives, so let them cover as a sign of submission to the next one up. There's no man there, so woman, no man, angels, God. You with me? Does that make sense? That's, I think, what it's saying. Okay, so Paul said, let them cover as a sign of submission because of angels. Let them cover their bald heads as a sign of submission to one in a place of higher authority, higher God-given authority. They do not have a man, a husband, to submit to his authority, so go to the next level up to the angels and let these new Christians be under their authority. That's what he's saying. All right. Isn't that interesting? All right. One more. We got time? Yep. All right. Now, one more. This is tough. Look at verse 13. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? All right. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Now, after asking the church to judge for themselves that which is right, Paul is basically making an appeal for common sense and the use of good judgment. Boy, there's a lost art. Okay? Now, doth not nature itself, do you see that? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame? Now, all of us understand that men and women have distinctive physiologies. We all understand that, I hope. We all do. One of them is the process of hair growth on the head. Hair develops in three stages. There's formation and growth, there's resting, and there's fallout. All right? Some folks stuck on number three. All right? Now, listen carefully. The male hormone, testosterone, speeds up the cycle so that men reach that third stage a whole lot quicker than the women. All right? It's all a part of the way God made us. The female hormone, estrogen, causes the cycle to remain in stage one for most women. And y'all be thankful that it does. Okay? All us men folk are thankful that it does. Okay? So that's just the way God made us. Women are rarely bald because few women ever reach stage three. This physiology is reflected in most cultures of the world where women wear their hair longer than men. Most cultures. Now, the nature, the word nature that Paul uses here, it has the idea of instinct. In other words, an innate sense of what is normal and what is right. This is an appeal to human consciousness. Paul is saying that a man, listen carefully now, a man looks around himself and he recognizes that, except for in a few rare exceptions, he recognizes that both nature and human instinct testifies that it is normal and it is proper for a woman's hair to be long and a man's hair to be short. That's what he's saying. beautifully, listen carefully, oh my, beautifully dressed hair is a glory to a woman. God's special gift to women to show the softness and the tenderness of a woman. So Paul says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Now, notice, he did not say that it was a sin. He said it was a shame. Do you remember the Nazirite vow of the Old Testament? And you know that Nazirite, one of the things was he could not cut his hair. Now, if everybody else, if all the other men had short hair, and then here comes some guy with long hair, don't you think he's going to be the object of ridicule? They're going to point his finger and say, hey, here comes the sissy guy. Hey, look, there's the sissy. Sure, he's the object of ridicule. But you see, back in the Old Testament times, you didn't just get up one morning and say, hey, man, everything, peace out, brother, cool, I'm going to be a Nazirite. No, no, no. Oh, no, 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 you 60 hippies. No, sir. That's not how it worked. No, that was a calling. You had a mission. God was going to do something mighty with you, and you were willing to not eat certain foods, and you were willing to let your hair grow long as a sign that you were committed to God, even though you had to take the world's rebuke for it. All right? And our society today is no different. I've got to tell y'all one. Oh, man. Maybe 2004, 2005, somebody gave Larry, Pastor Larry Stainer, and Diana tickets to go up to Harrisburg to see one of those Gaither programs. And so Larry came in, and he was, you know, Larry, he was always, you know, he had to fish to find out, you know, if I would be okay with that. So he comes in and he starts beating around the bush and, you know, talking about all this stuff and what kind of music I listen to in the car. And, you know, do you have XM radio? I said, why you ask? I learned Larry the first week I was here. All right. I learned Larry the first week I was here. And I said, why do you ask? No reason. I said, you got a reason. You don't ever do anything without a reason. And so, you know, and he told me, he said, well, you know, he said, I was just wondering if you had that gospel station, you know, where they play that Southern gospel music on XM radio. And I said, yeah, I got it. I said, why do you care? And he said, well, you know, in Harrisburg, next week finally he told me, you know, the Gaithers are going to be up there, and they're going to have all of them are there. Everybody. They're going to have, you know, Squire Parsons, and they're going to have the cathedrals, and man, they're all going to be there. And so I said, well, why are you telling me this? Well, you know, if somebody gave you tickets, would you go? And I said, and I knew then that somebody had given him tickets. And I said, oh no, I would never go. He said, you wouldn't. I said, oh no. He said, well, why not? And I said, well, I said, you ever, somebody ought to call those people, all of them, all that bunch up there, and tell them that the 70s called and they all want their hairdos back. They all look like they're still in the 1970s. All of them have long hair. Have hair comes right down the middle of their ear and all that stuff. And Larry, oh, no, they don't. And I said, yeah, they do. Larry, I said, look them up on the internet. You'll see. Oh, no, they don't do that. And so I remembered that I had a CD. Somebody had given me a CD, and it was underneath a bunch of CDs in my office. And I reached over, and I pulled that out, and I held that out there, and I said, look at that long-haired thing. And he said, well, he's not with him anymore. I said, yes, he is. And he said, well, you wouldn't go. I said, Larry, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And off, and then out the door he went. Well, he come back about an hour later, and he wanted to argue about it some more. And I said, Larry, listen, I'm not going to argue. And I wore him out over that. I don't know if he ever went or not. If he did, he didn't tell me. He probably did, though. But I just kept saying, Larry, I said, if you go, get you a big piece of cardboard and write on it 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doth not even nature itself teach you it's a shame for a man to, and just hold that sign up and see if they put you on video. You're crazy. You're just crazy. And he'd walk out the door. I said, yeah, that's pastor crazy to you, buddy. Well, we had a time with it. I don't know if he ever went or not. I don't know. One more thing, and then I'll let you go. It's time to go. Look at verse 16. He said, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. Now, what's he saying there? Well, he's saying, look, church, we're not going to sit around and argue and fuss and pick about this stuff. There's some things you fuss and you pick about. The virgin birth? No. Yeah, we'll argue about that. Okay? The deity of Christ, the incarnation, the second coming, the blood atonement, the inspiration of Scripture. But we're not going to sit around and divide and split over this stuff. And yet, for 2,000 years now, churches have sat around and divided over this very stuff. It happens. Well, I think a woman ought to cover her head. Well, if you think that and you're a woman, then cover your head. Well, I think a woman ought to cover her head. Well, then cover your head. That ain't going to bother me a bit. That's not going to impact me a bit. Seriously. If you want to cover your head, cover your head. But don't come to me and say, Pastor, can you give me a verse that says I ought to cover my head? No. No, I can give you one that says your hair is your glory and let that suffice. I can give you that. But if you say, oh, I don't see that, I want to cover my head, then cover your head. Go ahead. We ain't going to fuss over it. That's your prerogative. But Paul said, we're not going to sit around and debate this stuff. You know, a lot of this was cultural, folks. A lot of it was cultural. And Paul says this stuff's just not worth fighting over. Now, listen. I remember when some of y'all came to church and got saved. I remember when David Gist got saved. Y'all remember that? David Gist had a ponytail down to here. Huh? Yeah, he did. I looked down at him down here at the altar in that ponytail, and you know what I preached on that night? It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Remember that, Georgia? And it wasn't a week later that ponytail was gone. And such were some of you. And you see, these gals that got saved, these prostitutes, they probably just came out of the temple and they're walking home, and these guys say, excuse me, ma'am, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Well, no, I don't. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. And they got saved. And they come to church, and then, man, thank God, some of them, even though they got jumped on and railed and lashed, they put a scarf on and they kept coming, and then let their hair grow out, and then they took the scarf off and everything was fine. And they stuck with it. Thank God for it. And such were some of you. Some of y'all had earrings and you came and said, I want to join the choir. Well, we have this thing called man looks like a man, so you're going to have to take that earring out of your ear. Now, some of them said, fooey on that, walked out the door. A couple of them. But you know what most of them did? Took the earrings out. Mm-hmm. And there's been times where we've had to say, ma'am, you know, you're going to have to buy longer skirts. That's all there is to it. If you're going to get on this platform, you're going to have to cover up a little bit here. Now, when we said that, some of them got mad, out the door they went. You know? And such were some of you. Most time when stuff like this happens, God, angels, man, and isn't it funny? Right here is where God calls the preachers. The authority. I didn't write it. I'm just reporting it. Amen. Right here. And this one is not to usurp authority over this one under any circumstances. Amen. That's in the home, that's in the church, that's in government. You mean you don't think a woman ought to be president? No, I don't.
No way.
I don't. I just don't. Well, you're a sexist. No, I'm a biblicist. Amen. I believe the Bible.